Say what?
That's a weird shape of a balloon.
It's a weird shape of a balloon.
Here we go. Give everybody time to get down here. You guys know that Jesus loves you, right?
Yep.
Just like your mommies love you, and Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid either. Like your mommies don't want you to be afraid. So let me ask you a question. Can you guys tell me what are some things that you're afraid of? Spiders? What?
Hornets.
Hornets. Anybody scared of the dark?
Yes.
Thunderstorms? Did that scare you guys?
Yeah.
Surprised you. Do you know that God built into you something called, it's kind of like a startle reflex, so that when you are scared, your heart begins to beat faster and your muscles get tense so that you can run away from whatever scares you or you can stay and fight it. But he doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to be take courage in him. You see up there it says, don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed. That's from a story in the Bible that you might know, a man named Jairus. You ever heard of Jairus?
Yeah.
His 12-year-old daughter was sick and he went to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you come heal my daughter? And while he was going to see her, then somebody, his friends told him that she had died. And so he was scared. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Believe and heal. There's another story you might think of too. Do you remember the story about the disciples being out on the ship in the middle of the storm and the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing and all of a sudden they see Jesus come walking across the water? What did they say? A ghost! Look, it's a ghost! And then what did Jesus tell him?
I'm not a ghost.
No, but close. I'm not a ghost. He said, take courage. Don't be afraid. It is me. So that they would know he was Jesus. Jesus doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to have faith. What does faith mean?
I'm believing in Jesus.
Okay, believing in him. And what else do you think?
And other people you know and trust.
Yep, trust is the big thing. Jesus wants you to trust him in all things, that even though he may still make you go through the storm like he did the disciples, guess what? He loves you and he's with you all the way, each and every day. Good. Well, remember that, okay, as you go, that no matter what happens to you, even when things are a little bit scary, Jesus is still with you, he loves you, and he doesn't want you to be afraid. All right, let's pray. But Father, we love you. We thank you for this day in which we honored the women of our church for all of their love and their care and upbringing of our children. We ask that you would help these children to have courage to trust in you. Help us to move from fear to faith quickly as we begin to know you more and more. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, off to Kids Connect. Looks like Miss B's back there today. Well, it is Mother's Day, so again, happy Mother's Day to all of you ladies in the church, especially because I'm sure that at some point you have all touched the lives of a child, whether you had any or not, and so what a blessing it is. This morning I was thinking of some things that mothers might say that I've never heard in my house, like, oh, I got too much sleep last night, I'm so well rested, or my schedule is completely open. I have nothing to do. You know what? I don't eat any coffee this morning. I feel totally great. And I love it when my kids wake up always smiling, always happy, all the time. Anybody get to say that one? No. Well, we're in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. And today, all of us have been through uncertain times. We talked a little bit about uncertain times last week. We thought about what's going on with our government, what's going on in the Middle East and in Europe, all over the world today, the uncertainty that we have. And uncertainty just simply means that we lack being certain, that we have a lack of confidence. When we are uncertain, it means that we are filled with doubt and we're worried about the unpredictability of things that are going on. And when we have uncertain times, when we lack confidence, most of us tend to fall into a state of fear. In our staff meeting this week, we talked about fears, and somebody brought up the fear of the unknown, which is what uncertainty is, a lack of confidence in what we'll find on the other side of whatever door we are getting ready to go into. You know, today our high school kids will graduate, and for some of them there's some uncertainty about what they're going to do, what the future holds for them. So the same thing with our college graduates. Will they be able to find jobs in their field at which they can make a decent living? And so there's some uncertainty. Although there's great joy for them, there's also some uncertainty for them, and there's probably some uncertainty for you parents too, as you wonder what in the world your kids are going to do now. But I want you to understand a statement that I'm going to make today, and I think this is really true, and it is this, that faith can thrive in times of uncertainty. Faith can thrive in times of uncertainty. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, if you would. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things hoped for, things not seen, and that certainly sounds like uncertainty to me. And so as we'll see in our story today, it is obvious to me that our faith can be not only thrive, but it can be obvious to other people. We can actually prove our faith to others who maybe don't understand our faith in these times. It is our faith that keeps us moving and keeps us strong in times of uncertainty. So we're in chapter 2 of Daniel. If you remember, last week at the beginning, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were all taken into captivity by the Babylonian king and were made to serve in his court. They had gone through a rigorous indoctrination program, 3 years of training in the Babylonian culture and language and their courts. But in the face of all the uncertainty they were facing, these four young men stay faithful to God. They trust that God has something going for them. They trusted in God when it came to the matter of their diet. For whatever reason, they decided not to do it. They trusted that God had a better plan, and God proved them right. And so it worked so well for them that they were blessed in a mighty way. Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, and it says, "The king found them in all matters of wisdom and understanding. That the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm." Now, I want you to hang on to that verse for me this morning as we think about what happens in chapter 2. Because as impressive as all that was, their faith and how the king honored them, it wasn't long until there was another trial, another uncertain time in their life that came. And so it's going to be for us as well. We may come through one uncertainty just to find ourselves in another trial and another uncertainty. And understand, that's going to be the way of the Lord until he comes back to reestablish his kingdom. We're going to continue to go through uncertain times. And so today's lesson is, as we watch Daniel, how do we handle this uncertainty in a way that is glorifying and honoring of God? Because our uncertainty really is unsettling to other people as well. Uncertainty in our life affects the lives of other people. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "In the second year of his reign," and I'm not going to put the verses up there with me, so follow along in your Bible so you can mark, underline, whatever it is that you do. "In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. And when they came and stood before the king, he said to them, 'I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means.'" So here the king has this dream, more of a nightmare. He is so upset that he immediately calls for all of his wise men to come and tell him the reason for his dreams. Dreams in those days were thought to be messages from the gods. And so, King Neb thinks that this is probably some kind of warning because it's such a troubling dream, and he wants to know the meaning and what it's supposed to tell him. There was a lady on Valentine's Day that woke up and told her husband, she said, "You know what, I had a dream last night that you bought me a really nice pair of diamond earrings." And she goes, "What do you think my dream means?" And he looked at her and he says, "You'll know tonight." So with great anticipation all day, she waited, and when he got home, he came in carrying a nice little neatly wrapped gift box, and she opened it up only to find a book called The Meaning of Dreams, in which his Valentine's Day quickly turned into a nightmare. Well, the king doesn't have a book titled, What Are the Meanings of Dreams? So again, he calls in his cabinet. It says that these four groups of people, magicians who claim to have supernatural powers, they're the enchanters who believe in the use of charms and talismans for getting their information, sorcerers who claim to have power from the spiritual realm, and then the astrologers, of course, who think they can get answers from the stars. What's surprising to me is that even though he has all these people, and just previously in the chapter, he says that Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than all of his men, he doesn't call them originally. Maybe it's that he still doesn't trust Daniel and the other boys from Judah yet, but anyway, he calls in these other men. And when they get there, the first thing that they do is say, hey, tell us your dream so we can interpret it. So all of a sudden they find out they've got a problem because the king does things a little bit different. It was customary that the king would tell these guys the dreams and then they would interpret it. But here he throws a monkey wrench at him and he says, no. He says, I want you to tell me what my dream was. And maybe that's because he had seen 10 times better already. And he wants to know if these men are just frauds. If they've been kind of yanking his chain, so to speak, as he tells them what the dream, and they get together and they come up with a good story, he wants them to tell them the dream now. He wants to see if they have any real power. If you can find answers in the stars, then you ought to be able to tell me my dream. If you can find answers in charms or talismans, you ought to be able to tell me what my dream is. And then he hits them right between the eyes. He says, look, if you can't do this, if you can't tell me what my dream was, and then you can't interpret it, I'm going to cut you up in pieces and I'm going to destroy your homes. On the other hand, if you can, there's going to be some great rewards. Well, the wise men tell him, ask him one more time, king, will you tell us your dream and we'll interpret it for you? And he thinks they're stalling, and so he, again, tells them this is what's going to happen. Well, now there's some uncertainty that sets in. I'm sure that the king is uncertain that his men that he's been trusting for a while can't give him the answers that he wants. For the wise men or the sorcerers, the magicians, I am sure that they're uncertain because their future, their families, their homes have all been threatened. And they say, look, the only person that can do this, king, is the gods, and the gods aren't walking here with us. Little does he know. But there's some uncertainty in our story today. Let's look at verses 14 through 16, if you would. Because again, just like Daniel and his friends, uncertainty is not going to be a one-time event in our lives. We see that it is not here as well. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this time, Daniel went into the king and asked for time that he might interpret the dream. Well, O king decided he wasn't going to get his answer, and so he pronounced death on all the wise men. And our scripture tells us that Daniel and his buddies were included in this as well. So the commander of the king's army heads to Daniel's house to carry out the decree. And what we find is a way that we need to handle uncertainty. Be tactful and gracious with dealing with people while still seeking to honor God. Be tactful and gracious when dealing with people while still seeking to honor God. Tact means that we have a sense of what to say at the right time, or we have a sense of being able to avoid giving offense to people. A good synonym might be perceptive or even diplomatic. And so this is Daniel. Instead of cowering or picking up a sword and trying to protect himself or fight his way out of it, he uses this keen sense of perception that he has on how to deal with Arioch. And what's interesting is that Arioch, again, just like Ashpenaz and the guard and the story of the diet, senses something about Daniel that he says, okay, I'll take some time to tell you the whole issue instead of just going in and doing his duty and getting out. So some way, Daniel wins the favor of Arioch, because otherwise there's no way that he would have an audience with the king at this time. But there's something in Daniel, maybe this trust of God, that he tells Arioch, hey, let me go talk to the king, because I'm certain I can figure this out, that we can have a solution, we can interpret the dream. And so he gets an audience with the king, who gives him the time to interpret. Once again, there is something in Daniel's countenance, this great trust in God, that allows him to be put in this position. Verses 17 and 18. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. In times of uncertainty, one of the best and greatest things that we can do is be confident in prayer. Be confident in prayer. Daniel, as soon as he gets a stay of execution, he goes immediately home and explains to his three friends, hey, this is what we need to do. We need to pray to God that he would reveal the meaning of this dream to us so that we might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of the king's court. When I think of this, here's what that comes to mind for me. It's what I believe is important about this idea of being confident in prayer. David and his friends have this great sense of urgency. They understand their level of helplessness and that only God can provide the miracle that we need. See, I think sometimes in our prayer life, and we're all guilty of it, we all do it. How many times, and I don't want you to raise your hands, but I just want you to think to yourself, how many times has somebody said, hey, would you pray for something? And you say, I will. And then we just never get around to it. Or we say some, you know, hey, would you be with our Lord today? Or would you be with him today? We don't have that sense of urgency or that sense of helplessness that we find in Daniel and his friends. Or the sense of urgency and helplessness that we find in Jesus' prayers. Listen to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. You see the urgency and the intensity in the prayers of Jesus? Can that be said of our prayer life today, me included, where I am in tears and in crying out for God's mercy and for God's help, fervently, with great energy, with great passion? And this is what we find Daniel and his friends. A real, honest to goodness prayer life. And because of that, we find this in verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And he was heard of because of his reverent submission. You might have heard me say this before, but I would love for the Bible to be even thicker than it is. Because I would love to have heard what Daniel's original prayer sounded like. That God answered his prayer so, it seems, so easily and so quickly. What was that prayer like? Because here we see that Daniel quickly has an answer. Now, Daniel has an answer, and what's the first thing he does? Does he run off to the king and say, hey, king, I got it? No, because his prayer was answered, we find the next step in handling uncertainty. Be quick to praise God for the answers that you receive. He didn't run off and try to solve the problem. He stopped to give God praise and glory. Listen to this prayer. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells within him. I thank you and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. I mean, here is a man and his three friends who are getting ready to face execution. Instead of running off to the king and trying to solve the problem right there, he stops and he gives God praise and glory. He's got the answer. He still hasn't got it to the king. He's still not safe from execution, but he takes the time to say, "Thank you, God." He acknowledges God for his eternal nature, his wisdom, and his power. He acknowledges that God is in control of all things. He is in control of the seasons. He's in control of who's a king and who's not a king. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is like a stream of water, and in the hands of the Lord just moves it as he wills." He understands that God is in control, that God is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. God is the one who reveals hidden things. That's what revelation is. It reveals. This Bible is a book of revelation. What God revealed what was on his heart to the writers of the Bible that they may pass it on to us. And then he acknowledges that God, he says, "Thank you, God, for giving me the wisdom that I need and for revealing the dream that we might save some lives." What a great prayer that he gives. But even in this time of uncertainty, Daniel still acts with graciousness and tact around him. He doesn't panic, but he focuses on God and the control of the situation, and thank you, God, for his intervention. I think this is one thing that people ask me why I like to be a chaplain with the police department and the fire department, is that when we get a call and we're driving to the scene of whatever it is, one of the things that we share in our chaplains' meetings is that let's be praying about what God would have us say. God, reveal to me what it is that you need me to do in this situation. And one of the greatest compliments that all of us in the chaplain program, and Charlie can do the same thing when he gets a death notice, is that the calm that we can bring to the situation. When people are uncertain about what's going to happen, what's the next step, and as followers of Christ, we can walk in and bring a level of calm to the situation and still honor God. What a great witness that is for us in our trust and our faith that God is in control of all things. That in the midst of uncertainty, God still is in control. Scripture says the next morning, okay, then Daniel goes to Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, and says, "Hey, don't execute the wise men because I have the interpretation for the dream." Notice, here's the other thing, is that, I mean, these guys are enemies of Daniel's. They believe in all these other gods, not the God of Daniel, but Daniel doesn't just plead for him and his three friends. He says, "Don't execute the wise men." He doesn't want to see anybody put to death because of an injustice that's being done. So his prayer is not just for him and his friends, but it's for all the wise men. "Don't execute the wise men. I have been given the answer to the prayer." And so Arioch takes him to the king. And what I think what's funny in here is Arioch says, "Hey, I found one of the Jewish boys that can interpret your dream for him," trying to take credit for it. But what does Daniel do in that situation? Does he go, "Hey, no, wait a minute, I came to you, you know, I should get the credit, I'm the one that says I could"? Daniel doesn't say anything. He lets Arioch have his moment. It's not important. It's not worth fighting over. It's not worth, in this situation, it's not worth wasting time and energy on. He picks the things that are most important in the time of uncertainty, and he focuses on those. And so he waits for the king to ask him. He says, "Hey, all right, are you able to answer my dream and interpret it for me? Tell me my dream and interpret it." And Daniel doesn't say, "Yep. You know, I stayed up all night thinking about it, and I got the answer." It's not what he says. Daniel says no. Daniel's careful to explain to him that no man, just as the wise men said, no man can do what the king has demanded. But he says there is a God in heaven who can and does reveal mysteries. And it was this God, the God in heaven, who gave him the interpretation to the dream. See, Daniel doesn't want to take credit for anything because he understands again, and he's already praised God for it, that everything comes from God. The mystery was revealed to him not because of who he is, but because of who God is. And so Daniel tells the king about his dream. this enormous, dazzling statue. He tells him exactly what's going to happen to the statue in the king's dream, and he gives him the interpretation. This is what it means. And then he ends it by repeating that it is God who revealed the future to the king, and that this interpretation is trustworthy. You can believe it to be true. Now, the dream in itself is not important to our story today. Now, we'll come back to it at some other point, but I just don't want you to think we're skipping over it. But that's almost a whole nother sermon in itself. But understand that the dream has been interpreted, and it is God who has revealed the answers that we have. Skip to verses 48 and 49, if you would, just past the dream. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all his wise men. Now, remember, the king said, if you can do this, I'm going to give you some rewards. If you can tell me what my dream is, and if you can interpret it for me, I'm going to give you all kinds of lavish rewards. And so what we see here is he follows through on his word. He makes Daniel in charge of all its wise men in Babylon. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained in the royal court. When I hear this, I just want you to understand, be content with where you're at. Be content with the position that God has placed you in. You know, we live in a country where we're always on the move, trying to be one bigger, one better, always trying to get the next promotion, and not thinking that maybe this is where God wants us to be. See, the king is ruthless and evil as he is, threatening to cut up these men and destroy their homes. He's a man of his word, and he honors Daniel by falling, Scripture says, prostrate before Daniel, worshiping Daniel. And then he proclaims Daniel's God to be God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings, a revealer of mysteries. Doesn't say that he believes in the one God. He just says that your God is the God of the gods, the Lord of the kings. And then he makes Daniel, King Neb, makes Daniel the leader of the whole place. But Daniel says, no, that's not my position. How many of us would have been, all right. This is the equivalent of being like Secretary of State in our country. Many of us would have been like, all right, I made it. Yeah. Easy life. Daniel says, no. Nope. We would have taken the position of Secretary of State, and then we would have started rewarding our friends with good government jobs, with better insurance than any of us get, a better retirement program, and all kinds of perks and blessings. But Daniel says, nope. I'm going to honor my three friends. Why don't you make them head of the province of Babylon? Let them be in charge there. I'm going to stay right here. This is my sweet spot. Maybe this is, he believed, this is what God has been training him for his whole life. He's got this great faith, obviously, and on this Mother's Day, I want to point out that Daniel probably had one. And I believe that if Daniel's got this great faith, that his mother and father probably were people of great faith as well. They probably clung tightly to the words that God gave through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about it when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. It's obvious that in the midst of all this, that Daniel and his friends have such great faith that his parents must have lived this out and gave Daniel a great faith background. Because his faith has been trying to be stripped away for the last 3 years, but he clings tightly to his faith. And I believe there was something in Daniel that said, no, this is the place I need to be. This is the place that I can make the most difference for God. Rather than trying to find the next best thing, this is the place that I can make the most difference. Again, in our society today, there's this great allure of power and prestige and position and the next pay raise. What we often forget is, even though we get all those things, the troubles and uncertainty don't go away. It's just new troubles and new uncertainties. But it's in those trials and uncertainties, again, I tell you today, that faith can thrive in times of uncertainty. God has put us in these positions to grow us, to help us become stronger in our faith. And we see that so far in just these first two chapters. We see these young, these teenage men growing into people who are confident in the power of God, the power of His control, the power of prayer. They've been faced with uncertainty, and even in the midst of uncertainty, they are gracious in dealing with the people who were involved. Be gracious to those who have placed you in times of uncertainty. Be gracious to those who may try to lord it over you. And in doing so, you'll still honor God, which is ultimately what our mission is. Daniel and his friends are courageous before those who have the power to take their lives. One of the greatest threats that we have is somebody taking our life, and yet they are still courageous and gracious, tactful before these people. And in times of uncertainty, they are confident in the power of prayer. The other thing that we see in handling uncertainty in our life is make sure that when God brings you through that time of uncertainty, take the time to honor Him. Take the time to praise Him for all that He has done. God understands exactly what you're going through. As we saw in the little video clip from the Pregnancy and Family Resource Center, God knew all of your days before you even saw one of them. He has put you in places to grow and to learn and to humble us along the way. And so I think, given the uncertainty of our time, God is anxiously waiting for those of us to follow Him so that He can bless us. Again, we saw all kinds of uncertainty and turmoil and fear in the last election, but we have to remember that, as Daniel says in his prayer, it is God who places those people in authority. And when His purpose is fulfilled with them, He'll get them out of authority. So we have to trust that God is in control. And that this morning He's waiting for those of us who are in uncertain times to be like Daniel, somebody that He can bless, somebody whose faith thrives in the face of uncertainty. As we're sitting here this morning, there's one thing I want to go back and point out to you. And again, in verse 46, it says, King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor. Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. I want you to know that King Nebuchadnezzar has a head knowledge of God now, but in no way does he have a heart knowledge of who God is. This morning, if you're sitting here, maybe you're going through some uncertain times and you're having trouble, difficulty dealing with them. Understand God's with you, but He wants you to have a heart knowledge. It's not enough just to know who He is and that He is God of God and King of kings. But you have to know in your heart and trust and believe in Him. If you're here this morning and you have never put your faith and trust in God, through His Son Jesus Christ and His death on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins that you might have eternal life, then this morning I urge you, while you're sitting here in your seat, as we get ready to pray, ask God to be your God, not just in name, but in your heart. Pray to Him. Tell Him that you trust in Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for your sins as the only way to achieve eternal salvation in heaven. Because God is in control of all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You that, again, You share Your word with us, that we can come to know You and understand who You are and Your desires, not only in our world, but for our lives. Again, You have plans for us. You know every day of our life, even when that life will come to an end. And this morning I pray, Father, that there is not somebody sitting here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We don't know the end of our times. You know our day. So I pray that as we take this time to close, that, Lord, if there's somebody sitting here today, that they would just repeat after me this prayer. Father God, I love you. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I ask for forgiveness of those sins. And today I put my trust in your son, Jesus, for my eternal salvation. Watch over me and guide me in all that I say and do. Amen. So as we sit here, Lord, if somebody prayed that prayer today, you know who they are. I would ask that you would just have them speak to somebody that they know, another fellow believer, or to meet me in the library afterwards that we can share a little bit more. But Lord, watch over us today and guide us in all that we say and do. Through our times of uncertainty, we pray that you would help us to have courage and not be afraid, but to trust that you, again, are in control. Bless each and every woman in our church today, Lord. May your blessings be upon them for their faithfulness, their love of our children, and bringing them up in a Deuteronomy chapter 6 fashion. And again, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen.